Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4. Acts, chapter 1, verse 4. Acts, chapter 1, verse 4 reads this way. It says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, He, ye have heard of me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege of being able to assemble together as your body of believers, as your church. And Lord, we ask for your blessing tonight, for the filling and the guidance of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Ultimately, Lord, that you might be honored and glorified and our lives empowered and strengthened our faith, Lord, concerning the witness and a testimony that you've given to us because of our salvation, that we might be faithful servants. Again, guide us tonight, Lord, in a way that would draw us closer to you and empower our lives to be the witnesses of your great grace. And again, we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Wait for the Promise of the Father. Wait for the Promise of the Father. I'm going to give you a second title, right? And it's an idiom that we have here in our country. Not all idioms translate. Have you ever heard that before? I'll never forget. Brother Hugo Malazzi was in Mexico. He does the medical missions work. He goes all over the world, and he's a medical doctor, so he's able to help. But he's a preacher too. He's a pastor. And anyway, he was pastoring at this particular time in Mexico, and an American preacher came and was preaching a service for him, and he had an interpreter. And in fact, he was doing the interpreting. That's what it was. He was doing the interpreting. And then the fella said a joke. He made a joke, but it was an American joke. And that's what he said. He told the people, he said, "Listen, it's an American joke. It won't make sense here in Spanish. Laugh anyway." Amen. So they laughed. So they laughed for him. But anyway, here's the second title. Ready? Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. And so idioms, again, like that, mean that we're on the same page. Is that right? That's another idiom. We're on the same page. We're not reading a book, are we? We're just thinking alike is what that's meaning. We're on the same page means that you understand me, I understand you, and we're in agreement in this particular case. So keeping your eye on the ball has nothing to do with a ball. But it has everything to do with constantly thinking about or giving attention to something important, also known as to stay focused. That's another one. It's not that you're out of focus, not that anything's blurry, but we want to, what does it mean? Stay focused, concentrate, keep your eye on the ball. All these things have to do with being in tune with what we're doing. And specifically tonight, we're talking about the Lord's message. And I want you to know this, the Lord's message to his disciples has never and will never change. That's a good thing. The ball's not going to move on you. Amen? It's always going to be right where you would expect it to be. And so the Lord's very predictable in that way. And so we want to consider a couple of thoughts tonight. And I want you to think about this also. The world has a misunderstanding concerning eternal life, do they not? They are blinded. They are blinded. I don't know if you saw it, but somewhere, I think it's in Boston, and maybe this one fellow's out of Pennsylvania that's the head of the Satan church movement, that they're wanting to bring that into the high schools. They want to have a Satan club. And so they showed this one person in the Satan club, and she is tearing up the Bible and saying, "Hail Satan," and the whole crowd is just like on fire with it. They're really going to be on fire. But anyway, they're on fire at the moment, praising Satan. Did you ever think you'd see the day when this would come into our schools? Truly, a lot of wickedness is taking place where they're, by the way, very open, very, very unashamed and very smug. And so they really misunderstand. She called this the book of oppression. Oppression, that's because she's blind and cannot see. And that's because she is, really, as we all were of our father before salvation, the devil. And praise God that we are born again, given a new birth into his family. And now we have God as our heavenly father. And we thank the Lord for the salvation that he's provided. We thank the Lord for all that he's given to us. And here's the whole idea. The world has this idea that Jesus is an oppressor or Christianity is oppression. Oh no, it's liberty. It's liberty. They see it. See, they think, as long as I can just gratify myself, and that's not love. Because, listen, love, remember, a truth and the truth, God's love vaunts not itself. It's not about me, it's about everybody else but me, right? My compassion and my concern is for others, and that's what they completely miss. So it's liberating because I was stuck worshiping me. I bought the devil's lie, right? You be God. I bought that lie. And God opened up my eyes and set me free. Now, you know, blind people that have been born blind, they have no idea of things that they see or things that we can see, right? But that doesn't mean they don't exist because they can't see them. But before I got saved, guess what? Spiritually speaking, I was blind. I did not know. And then God opened up my eyes. And I want you to know the message of the Lord. Ready? In case you ever wondered, and I know you know this, God is saying, don't miss out. Don't miss out on what? Don't miss out on eternal life. Then after you get saved, don't miss out on the grace of God. And as you walk with the Lord, don't miss out on the working of the Holy Spirit. Don't miss out on the fruit that the Holy Spirit wants to bear in and through your life and mine. So tonight, as we consider our text, I want you to know this. God is not berating. Boy, I'm getting really twisted tonight. Anyway, berating us, right? He's not hitting us over the head. He's not saying shame on you. You know what God is saying? Don't miss out. Amen? Don't miss out. Keep your eye on the ball, get on the same page, and watch what God wants to give us that he's already promised. He's not changing a thing. He's not moving the ball. It's in the same place. So let's consider a couple of things, and I want to look at four thoughts quickly, believe it or not. We're going to be done here, but I want you to see this. I want you to see the focus. I want you to see the ball. I want you to see a swing and a miss, and then I want you to see how to always connect with God, all right? That's what the Lord wants us to do, to connect with him. Okay, verse 2, and notice this right here. He says, until the day in which he was taken up. Who are we talking about? Who was taken up? Jesus, amen? We got to know who we're talking about. After that, he, who are we talking about? Jesus. We're talking about Jesus, right? He, Jesus, through the what? Through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, follow this thought. God never changes. Jesus Christ is our example, and he gave us the example of not doing anything, even after the resurrection, without the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because he doesn't want you and I to do anything without who? The Holy Spirit. And people just, you know, let's go, let's do this. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, God, I need your Spirit to guide me today. That's a wonderful prayer in the morning. We'll never do that unless we believe we need him. I'm very good at putting my foot in my mouth. I am. I'm good at making mistakes. God is good at taking me and keep me from making these mistakes, right? All right. So he says this. He says, and given commandments, the bottom of verse 2, unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So God is working with his people here, right? Okay, so that's the focus, and that's what we want to see. Now I want you to just take a quick little note here as we consider the focus. I want you to consider the Lord's mode or vehicle of working. Focus in. It's the Holy Spirit. We already said that, but I want you to see this here in verse 3, because what we find, what do you see, what punctuation do you see at the bottom of verse 2? That's a colon, right? Right? I had to look real hard, but it's there. There's a colon there. And a colon is used specifically here to introduce information that is related to the sentence that preceded it. So what we find here in this colon is he's getting ready to list some more concerning that after he was taken up, and that he, through the Holy Ghost, Jesus, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So the Holy Spirit is still involved in what God is doing here, okay? So notice verse 3, to whom he also showed, who's he? Jesus. And how did he do it? With the Holy Spirit. He's revealing things by the power of the Holy Spirit. So he says this, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. So what is the Lord in the business of doing? He is in the business of affirming and confirming your salvation and your relationship and my relationship with him. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's not be afraid of what God is wanting to use. Let's not be afraid of the gift that God has indwelt us with to enable us to be a royal priesthood that would bring honor and glory to him. God tonight is saying to his people, don't miss out. And don't believe the lie. The ball has not moved. It will never change. Listen, times will change, things will change, men will become more wicked, but our God never changes. Amen? And we thank the Lord and love the Lord for that. Okay, so many infallible proofs. God wants to do some things in your life and mine that give us many infallible proofs. He wants to see his power in your life and mine. And what that does is that proves to you and I how great God is. And how great and greater still that he wants to be in our lives. And so as we consider this, notice again verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many, not just some, not a few, but many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Okay? So here we have the focus. And that focus is that he is working by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to see the ball here. Ready? Notice the ball. Watch this. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now let's continue on here. Ready? For John, verse 5, truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with what? So do you see, listen, that colon was important because he's still talking about who? The Holy Spirit, right? He's still talking about the Holy Spirit, and he's telling the disciples, don't move, wait for what? The Holy Spirit, right? Don't move in front of him, wait for him, all right? For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So Jesus is our example, is he not? And he's still working through the power of the Holy Spirit. Question. Is the Holy Spirit involved in someone's salvation? Yes. If not, you never got saved. Because it is the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin. Amen. Question, is it still the Holy Spirit that convicts the believer of sin? Absolutely. So if it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us, this is wrong and this is right, the Holy Spirit is very important. Is it possible for you and I to get up in the morning, head out the door, and leave the Holy Spirit behind? Absolutely it is. And we're going to be in for a lot of trouble. We're not going to be following the Lord. We're going to be going our own way. And so God says, listen, this is where the rubber meets the road. It's not just salvation and that's it. That is just the beginning. And I want to say it's a wonderful beginning. It's a priceless beginning. It is really the start of everything, but it doesn't end there. And the problem is, unfortunately, today, a lot of believers are leaving the Holy Spirit behind. But Jesus is saying, keep your eye on the ball. Don't go anywhere without him. That's what he's saying. Is he not? Don't go anywhere without him. Well, the only way that we will understand him in a greater way is to continually ask the Lord to explain it to me. Is God an infinite God? Yes. He is an infinite God. Can you figure him out in an hour? Can you figure him out in a year? Will we ever get, will there always be more to learn, praise God? Good things to learn. Now listen. If it was something like calculus, you know, if something like math could be endless too. but I wouldn't be praising God for no end to math, right? I praised God to be, now Josiah, he likes math, that's all good and well. I couldn't wait to be done with math, amen? I still use math, but I don't need to go any further than what I know right now, amen? I can learn more if I want to. I don't want to, amen? But here's the truth, ready? When it comes to the Lord God, praise God, there's no end to him. And so God wants us to, he wants to, listen, every revelation of the Lord, if the Holy Spirit is working right, every revelation of the Holy Spirit will get you, will get me to want more.
That's right.
Amen? And he'll never get old. It won't be, oh, this again. It'll be, oh, tell me more. Oh, yes. I want to understand more. So that's the ball. You got a picture? We got the focus, right? We're keeping our eye on the ball. Now I want you to see a swing and a miss. Look what the disciples do, and be careful here in verse 6, because this is how easy it is for us to get our eyes off the ball. That's how you miss. You take your eyes off the ball, right? In football, they say, follow the football all the way into your hands. You know, horrible receivers do this, and the ball shoots right through their hands because they don't follow it into their hands, right? The same in baseball, you don't want to do that. You could get knocked in the head pretty good, and that wouldn't be a pretty picture. Well, the same thing with the Lord. Don't just be stargazing out there. Focus in, zero in, ask God to do that for you on what he's wanting and trying to do in your life and mine. So notice what happens. He tells them what to do. And then notice verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? What? He was just talking about the... Now, you see, listen. Remember the colon that was there at the bottom of verse 2? And then he began to tell them about the Holy Spirit. And then he began to tell them about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden, out of left field, they get together here and they ask this question. Are you going to store the kingdom of heaven? Now watch the Lord, because this is how he always wants us to connect with him. Watch this. Ready? Verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now you have to really appreciate this. He didn't get on their case. Do you see how he just turned them around? You see how he just turned them around when kids are toddlers, right? And they start going off to a dangerous area. You just take their head, turn them around, take them by the hand, just kind of swing them around, send them off another way, right? Have you ever done that? Very gently, just oh, and they go, wee, thank you, and they just toddle off the other way because they're headed towards something, maybe a stove, maybe an oven or whatever. Nope, not this time. We're going to go that way, right? And so God is just turning them around very gently so that they can see what's really important. Now watch this here. Look at verse 8. So he says, it's not for you to know this time. That's in his own power. And so basically he's saying, occupy till I come again. Don't worry about that. But, right, that's a conjunction. On top of that, verse 8, ye shall receive power. Question. What is Jesus concerned about the disciples getting? Power. Question. Has God changed today? Is it possible that that's still his concern in the life of the believer? Listen, it's God. It's the Lord. And he's wanting us to understand this. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And when that happens, he says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Isn't that good? And so, and then just real quickly, just so you know what happens here and in verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, that was the message, right? So while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Isn't that good?
That's good.
He gave the message.
That's right.
Be filled with the Spirit. Now the Spirit's already come. So we need to be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
That's the powerhouse of God. And we do need to say, Lord, what does that mean? Now he indwelt us. We know we're indwelt. But you need to ask him specifically for you, what does that mean? And then when you start opening up the word, Lord, show me what that means for me, for me. I can surmise what that might mean for somebody else, but that's not really our concern. I can surmise what that might mean for the preacher. I can surmise what that might mean for the Sunday school teacher and whoever else, the missionary. But what really matters is, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? So there they are. They're sky-gazing, right? They're up there looking in the air. And verse 10, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here, ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So they were concerned about the kingdom of God. When God comes back, that's all going to be taken care of. Amen. By the way, the kingdom of God is being worked on right now by you and I. Amen. And that's God's plan. And so tonight, wait for the promise of the Father. That's the message. Mm-hmm. Keep your eye on the ball. We saw what the focus was. Jesus revealed that. We saw what the ball was. We saw the disciples take a swing and a miss. And then we saw how God explains how we can always connect with him when we get off course. Just in case you wondered, it's our nature to get off course. Amen. It's God's love to bring us back in the way. He says, no, this is the way, this is the way. I want you to know I've gotten off course. That's not a comfortable thing. Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I want you to know it ought to bother the child of God when he fails the Lord. It ought to bother them to realize, I'm looking to myself. I'm not really understanding the power of God, because Jesus said, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be a witness. Now, wait a minute. We're not talking about just a witness of telling people. We forget that. We forget that. Listen, that's involved in it, but God wants to give you a testimony that the world can see. He wants to make you and me a credible witness that people can see a changed life. Forget this baloney, right? Parents are terrible about doing this. Don't do as I do, do as I say. Hogwash. Hogwash. That's horrible. That's no example at all. God wants you and I, by his grace, by his power, to be empowered to be his examples, his royal priesthood. And by the way, here's how it works. When God is doing it, you are singing a song and praising God, because you are amazed. When God is doing it, you just step back and go, wow. How great my God is. I know I could not do this. I could not do this. See? And be in the business of thank. Don't rob God of his glory. So when you see things taking place, stop right there in your mind. You could be driving. You don't have to stop the car. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Thank you. That is your glory, Lord. Thank you. When you're fit to be tied and gentleness comes out, that is the Spirit of God. Because if you're filled with anger and you're upset and gentleness comes out, it wasn't us, was it? It would be the Spirit of God. He takes over. And by the way, what happens is a situation or a circumstance causes us, when people get angry, to make us angry, or however it might work out, especially concerning people, what we realize is an important truth. They don't know what they're doing. They're without Jesus. But what excuse do we have? We have no excuse. Because it's one of two things. If we're in the flesh, we have forgotten the Lord. And listen, if they can't see Jesus in us, then maybe it's been some time since we've asked the Lord to guide us today. I need Jesus every day. And guess what? Even throughout the day. And so, let the world and people say what they want. I pray all the time. I pray all the time. I get in the car, and whoever's in the car, let's pray. I need Jesus on these roads. I'm not going to depend upon myself and my skill. My skill's going to keep me from an accident. No. And by the way, while I'm praying for me on the road, I'm praying for my family that's elsewhere. I got family in Pensacola, Alabama. How'd that work out? And in Missouri. How'd that work out? Like that. I don't know how that happens. But you know what that tells me? I need Jesus even more. Amen? So tonight, listen, keep your eye on the ball and wait for the promise of the Father. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that you bring to us, the blessings you want to give to us. Lord, the glory you want to reveal, your glory that you want to reveal in and through us. We truly are to be conduits of your power, your grace, and your glory. What a blessing. How can I say thank you? You have chosen me, a broken vessel, to glorify you. And you've chosen each and every one here that knows you as Savior to glorify you. And all we need to do is just say, Lord, do your work in us. Show us. May we seek you. And may you fulfill your will to glorify you, Lord, in our lives, through our lives, for your glory and our blessing. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.